Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in. It's Friday, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone. And you. I think it's Chamber of Commerce Day in Lincoln. We could and should be golfing, but we're happy to be here. We have Mike Babcock of HailVarsity.com and Magazine coming up in 15 minutes. Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore, will run number 44 down. Bill Dolman next hour, and he's been a busy guy. You mix in the holiday, 10-year NBA vet. Eric Strickland will give us his thoughts on the week that has been in the NBA. So that is something to look forward to. Always room for you. Can tap the line. Schillingbridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865. Can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. Can find us on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio at Two Birds, One Stone is Colton's Twitter. And, of course, at HailVarsity. Well, we'll get into some of the different topics of the day, and not a ton going on, but there's always the guy we both know, Colton, and love, our old buddy Sip, enjoyed his column, because this time of year, man, you're waiting for kickoff, you're counting down for that first, you're counting down for fall ball to start, and then you have the game. But right now, you're in that lovely month of July. Teachers and students love the month of July because it's what you're gripping onto before it gets real again. The month of July in sports, you had the All-Star break next week. You've had really great week of NBA news. And you just got dudes hitting the weights, working out with buddies, getting ready for the season. And you have this slow-moving train that's been labeled. You've seen trains go by. I get stopped by two trains a day. And this one we're talking about is the hype train. Guilty. Sentence me to hype when it comes to incoming players or over-projecting some guys. I've been right about some as well. But Adrian Martinez is a guy that folks are just super excited about. We have talked to him. We talked to his coach. You've heard from Coach Verduzco. You've heard from Coach Frost. There is reason to be jacked about number two. Now, time will tell if and when that quarterback decision's made. Who's going to be playing behind center? Who's going to be running the zone read? Who's going to be making plays with their arms and their legs? And old buddy Sip is cold water, man. And yesterday, or on the 4th of July, if you're out golfing, you want some cold water dumped on you because it was hot. Today, though, it's beautiful. And you don't need the cold water so much, but there is education in the writing here with hype. And let's go back a year. And I thought Tanner Lee was going to be nice. Mm-hmm. And I thought Tanner Lee was going to be difference-making for Nebraska, right? Because he fit all of the measurements and he got the hype from some NFL dudes. Mm-hmm. And we talked to folks that have, you know, had worked with him at the Manning Passing Academy. But when it came to game time, Tanner Lee's problems were those around him. And he was the first to own up to his own mistakes. He's a stand-up dude. But it wasn't much different. It didn't look much different at Nebraska than it did at Tulane, where he's just getting the crap kicked out of him. And I know Nebraska didn't give up a ton of sacks, but he was pressured and he was hurried and his feet were messed up and he had dudes not make blocks and he had the bubble screen death interception game happen way too many times to start the year, let alone getting, you know, the collar for four picks to his fault, to not against Oregon. But he's a stand-up guy, and good luck to him in the NFL. But, man, this time a year ago, it's, man, Tanner Lee, Nebraska, 10 wins. And you could totally find 10 wins on their schedule last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up with four.
And almost two.
And to be fair, Tanner had to score 45 a game to win. You knew the defense was giving up 41 on a okay day.
Mm-hmm.
Not 56 that the Buckeyes and Hawkeyes put up. So let's fast forward to now with Adrian Martinez. And, you know, I look at this and I can talk myself into with this hype and this hype train of why Martinez can and may be different. What are freshmen going to go through? Freshmen are going to have to get acclimated to college. Freshmen are going to have to get acclimated to the offense. They're going to have to get used to the locker room. They're going to have to win teammates over. They're going to have to go provide evidence that they're the guy. They're going to be consistent. They won't lose you a game more than they'll manage a game and at some point grow into being able to win you a game. There's so many different steps in the process, and some of the realities of college football right now are, if you're a freshman or you're a redshirt freshman, the culture is now to play and play early and start and be magic. Okay? You've got the kid at Georgia, Fromm.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I mean, that dude came in and was just, he handled it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't try and do too much, but when asked, was really good. He's kind of an exception. You have different instances where guys go in, it goes horribly wrong, and they're never heard from again. So in the culture of college football right now, what can a guy come in and do? Because they're all chomping at the bit, thinking they're ready. Some are, many are not. And if it doesn't go your way, what happens? Even Jalen Hurts hits a bump in the road. Mm-hmm. And you got Tua, who's come in, okay? And they ran what he knew. But it really kind of comes down to what's your response like? Are you mature enough to grasp an offense, impress the veterans, make plays, make better decisions, handle your schoolwork, handle being away from home, and be 18 going on 25 between the ears.
Mm-hmm.
And some guys are ready and are just that special. I can talk myself into either quarterback being special. And when I say special, I'm not talking greatest ever, top five Husker quarterbacks, but I'm saying for what they need to do for this offense, I think the longer they're in it, the better they'll get, and they can make the offense special. Because I think you have that type of dedication with two of your options right now. I'm not leaving Bunch or Vedral out. I'm just talking about the two guys that we're all talking about and thinking about, and Tristan Jebbia and Adrian Martinez. And I think what separated Jebbia, he's also an early enrollee. Both these guys have been early enrollees.
Mm-hmm.
But they are committed to it. I mean, they love football. They've worked at football. And it's not, they're not just doing it because that's kind of what you got to do. I think they genuinely like it. I think that's a difference. That's a difference you got to have if you're going to be a guy as a redshirt freshman or as a true freshman that takes over a team. And I think the ability of Adrian and the maturity of Adrian gives him a chance to be special, to be able to handle it. And I think he's been through enough in his life that adversity is one more thing that he's just used to as day-to-day life. He's experienced some really tough things in his life. And if you throw a pick on 3rd and 8 inside your own red zone to lose the game, you're going to be pissed about it, but you won't let it crumble you. Mm-hmm. I think he's got a couple of guys in Frost and Verduzco that are going to be right there for him, because Scott Frost has faced a ton of adversity, man, and he has bounced back like no other, if you want to know the truth of it. Same with Tristan Jebbia as far as his work ethic and his commitment. And I think the way guys view him as somebody that is going to put in the work, and they trust. He doesn't like the idea of being quarterback at Nebraska. It's cool, man. I'm rolling around campus, can go to O Street, can kick it, do whatever. I'm the quarterback at Nebraska. No, he wants to be quarterback at Nebraska because he loves football. And I think there's a difference. And I think you get a slew of guys with parents or quarterback coaches that end up at large programs, and they just don't get what they don't get because they've never seen it in their life. Because it was easy for them in high school. They were loaded with talent around them at high school, or they were that freaking good in high school. It's a whole nother level, and I think some guys got it and can handle the jump. And I think you got two guys from a mental aspect that are different than many. They have been ballyhooed. They've been heavily recruited. But they are pretty quiet, pretty mild-mannered, and pretty committed to what they want to do.
Now, you brought up Tanner Lee. I see Lee and Martinez's situation as very comparable but different in a certain aspect. I think they're comparable in the fact that they're both mature. They both fit the offense. They both are capable of doing it. They're both out of football, real football,
sure,
for a year.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, injury is different than redshirting, but...
You still had to transfer.
Right.
You're still out.
And... I think where it's different, and I think where I can buy into a freshman or redshirt freshman playing, is the fact that this culture is different than the previous one. I think it's a
the
work
internal.
Ethic. Yeah, it's the coaches. It's the training they've gone through. I don't think you have a bunch of guys that if one thing goes wrong, they'll hang their heads and think about it the entire game. I think... Despite them being the same players.
The staff won't let them.
Right. That's the thing. Despite them being the same guys... I think they'll have completely different mindsets going to every game, every play. And I just think that the culture and the way that they've been brought up so far is leaps and bounds completely different from last year. And I think that's why you could see younger guys playing more and not just being handed it because of talent.
Sure. No, and I mean, and that's step one, right? I mean, the guy who's preached it the most is throwing out the first pitch tomorrow night, Ryan Held. I mean, with that running backs room, he's got 400 running backs to pick from. But he doesn't care who you are. The best guy is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it. And I think that's how they'll decide the quarterback. A great rundown of how they're going to make the decision at quarterback with Brandon Vogel's story with Mario Verduzco in the Hale Varsity Yearbook. So when it comes to the hype train and when it comes to Adrian Martinez, you can be wowed, you can be impressed. But what makes me think that it could work out sooner rather than later for him is just some of the intangibles he has. And you need to see it in action. Mm-hmm. But I would put money down, mine and yours, that if things go wrong, it ain't going to break him. And same with Jebbia. The thing in Sip's story that I thought was pretty cool too is, okay, who's backing up Tanner a year ago? And Jebby had wowed enough people there that I don't think old Danny Langsdorf was ready to make a call. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jebby, if Tanner Lee would have been knocked out, they went with O'Brien eventually, obviously, against Penn State and Minnesota. But Jebby, you didn't want to burn him at that point. You didn't want to burn the red shirt at that point. But if it would have been a long-term injury, hey... I mean, Jebby had put the work in and had looked better in live situations in an early enrollee opportunity versus a year and a half that O'Brien had been here.
And I think if he gets the starting job now or if he gets to play this season, I think you're right. I don't think anything breaks him. I think last year, I mean, it's good they didn't burn it because he's got
four years. He went through some of the prep. Now, this
right.
is a whole different situation with hands-on approach probably.
Mm-hmm.
With staff, to your point, but he's shown the he's a guy throwing late after practice.
Right.
He is.
And I think the thing with last year too is I don't think they wanted to put him in a situation as a redshirt freshman
to blow
where,
him up.
Yeah, he's going in as cleanup. If you already have a guy that can go in and do that, you might as well not burn a redshirt.
Sure, so. And you got four games this year to put in Adrian if he doesn't win the job and see how he handles things, give him some experience. It just it'll be fascinating to see the quarterback race. I think what intrigues me most and where Nebraska can be really dangerous is with Adrian's running ability in the offense versus the throwing. How far apart is Adrian and Jebbia in the throwing parts of this offense? Mm-hmm. There's a clear athleticism advantage running the football with Adrian than everybody else, at least through one spring game. Mm-hmm. And you can try to be dynamic at running. You can be completely serviceable. There's a difference between serviceable and deadly with your legs. That's what it is. But a good story by Sip. Loved that. And can't wait for this to play out. We'll talk with Mike Babcock, Jay Moore this hour. Great to be with you on a Friday. Put together an all-hype team. Those who lived up, those who did not. We'll reveal that a little bit later. It's Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Welcome in 41 years and counting. Mike Babcock, historian, author, Hall of Famer, and with HailVarsity.com and magazine. Babbers, how are you, man? You getting cranked up for the season?
Yeah, got to, right? I mean, it's all good. You got to be cranked up for the season. That's what people are talking about. It's football 12 months a year now.
It is. Now, are you wearing your Boogie Cousins jersey?
No. I'm maintaining my objectivity, such as it is.
You're a Golden State guy. You can smile about
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah, I will.
You're getting home and away.
You know, yeah, well, now the LeBron Lakers, you know, I don't know how good they're going to be.
It'll be a while.
Yeah, but I was, you know, it's like a bargain basement deal with Cousins.
No, yeah, and he's the guy coming off the Achilles, so he's like, heck yeah.
Yeah, I mean, his career averages, he averages a career double-double, I think, 21 points and 11 rebounds or something like that, and, you know, when he gets healthy, that's just you put him in that lineup, that's just a great thing for Golden State to pick him off.
Oh yeah, and he's got his range too. I mean, he's not just a back to the basket or a low block guy. I mean, he can stretch it out a bit. That's the thing, man. These 7-footers now, they can not all handle the ball, but they can shoot from Curry land. You know, they're pretty good.
Yeah. Well, look at Durant. I mean, geez, that guy's he can shoot from anywhere.
He can.
And he can shoot from half court.
And he does.
He does.
Mike Babcock's with us, Hail Varsity Radio at MD Babs. Follow Babbers on Twitter. Mike, you've seen a lot of Nebraska football, and you've got just a great buzz about Adrian Martinez, and there are expectations for Nebraska football. Realistically, 6-6 is what a lot of the professional guys in the desert are prognosticating. ESPN's power index is around 500. I'm thinking 7 or 8, and that's just because I think this staff can really coach up folks. But you've seen Gill, and you remember when Turner came in and the hype around him. You remember Tommy Frazier, the hype that came around him. What's the hype like, at least the Babcock hypometer, when you look at Adrian Martinez in comparison to Gill and Frazier?
Well, you know, and obviously time changes everything, so the context is much different. But I remember, for example, Turner Gill comes in and had some discussions with Osborne about playing as a true freshman. And Turner, my recollection is that Turner said, you know, no, I'd rather play with the guys that I came in with. He played on the freshman team, didn't think he was ready to play with a varsity, and so that's the way he was handled. And then He didn't start right off his sophomore year. It was like, I think, the fifth game of the season. He started at Missouri on the road, and, you know, the rest was history with him. Mm-hmm. With Tommy Frazier, Tommy came in, and he thought he ought to be the starter from day one. He had some problems, you know, just not being the starter right off the bat, but I think he maybe he understood at some point, and he didn't start right off, but when he did, we know how that went. You know, he was Osborne decided that he was ready, and he had the opportunity, and off he went. So it's a tough thing for a freshman quarterback when you think of all the responsibility and everything that you have to understand to play that position for a guy that's in his first year of college and a guy that's coming off of an injury and, you know, didn't see action. It's a lot to ask of Martinez, and I think you have to take that into consideration. I don't know. I think Mario Verduzco, you know, his approach, the way he deals with quarterbacks, he's so much smarter than I am in a lot of areas. I wouldn't try to guess really on how he's going to handle the quarterbacks. But my expectation, like everybody else, is that Martinez is going to get the call to begin with. That doesn't mean that in week two or week three or whatever that he'll be the quarterback. It just depends on what happens. But you're asking a lot from a freshman, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the coaching, you know, that he gets or whatever, whether he can handle it or not.
Oh, it's a mountain on your shoulders, and Jebby is a guy that's he's not played, but he's been through at least a season with the prep at the college level. And you got a couple of good options, I think, if you're Nebraska. Babers, a thought on the Nebraska defense. What type of jump, what type of turnaround do you expect in year one, knowing that they are going to be ultra-aggressive?
Well, yeah, that's the key, I think, ultra-aggressive. And I think Chenander has even said, you know, if a guy makes a mistake but he's going 100 miles an hour and he's being aggressive and he's trying to make a play, you know, that's what they're looking for. So in that context, it's like, okay, I don't know that necessarily Nebraska is going to be one of the top 10 in, nationally in total defense. You know, these guys are going to make mistakes. But they've got the ability, you know, they've turned them loose. And I think that there's the athleticism there. I think they've got the players to do that. And so I think it's going to be interesting to watch that. I mean, I always say, the offensive line is where things start, but I'm also intrigued by the possibilities of an aggressive attacking defense, which is the way Shenander is going to go, and I think he's got some guys that are going to fit that system and give him an opportunity to do what he wants to do.
A few minutes here, Mike Babcock with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, what'd you like most about the yearbook?
You know, I've said this before, but I think it's a blend of form and content. You know that it, in this day and age, you know, sometimes substance gets lost in favor of form. But I think the yearbook has both substance and a great form. I love the photography. You get into the position breakdowns, and there's some great pictures in there. I particularly like Tony Butler and his hat, but you know it's kind of like, you know, the players are kind of relaxed and sort of doing what they want to do, and you got a really colorful background, and it's just a cool thing, and you know, I think that the yearbook is the way it's written, the way it's put together, there's a sort of a timelessness to it, you know, that it's not like, well, you better get this thing, better get through it now, because it's going to be a passe if you wait too long for it. I think that the stories are fairly introspective. You know, the Verduzco thing is really special. Derek Peterson does a really nice job with you know, what happens when you what happens on that first play of your possession, and then, you know, what are your odds, depending upon that, of being successful. Got a nice in-depth story on Tyjon Lindsey and really the team breakdowns. The Big Ten and the non-conference opponents are a little bit different way of looking at things. So I like all of that stuff. I just think that it's a tribute to the staff.
Well, your work's pretty incredible in it too, Mike.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I thought it was funny that Harry Grimminger thought when he got to Nebraska he needed to get heavy, so he got to 305 pounds, and there was a play at Colorado where he couldn't get out of his stance quick enough to make the play, and the next thing he knows, he's being told that he needs to lose some weight. So I thought that was pretty funny. It was great talking to Harry.
That's good. Mike Babcock's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, let's go back here for a second. What do you think is going to help Coach Frost the most in this first year handling what is Nebraska football? What do you think he'll take most from his playing days and apply here?
Well, I think this may sound a little bit odd, but I think that, you know, one of the strengths that he has is the tremendous support, you know, that Husker Nation, a term that I don't use too often, but you know, it seems like majority of Husker fans are behind him. They're pulling with him, and I think that's gonna help what happens this year. You know, it's just a good feeling around the program with the fans. Just the passion that you see with the fans and how excited they are, I think that translates into something positive for Scott Frost and for the coaching staff. And obviously, he knows something about what Nebraska is, but it's been a while since he was here, and things have, you know, changed, and Husker Nation has been split. And people haven't been all pulling in the same direction. I think they are now. You know, we got Tom Osborne behind the program, the direction it's going. Bill Moose has done a great job, I think. It's the support, I think, that he gets that magnifies the, you know, his coaching approach and the fact it's indispensable that he brought his entire staff here. I mean, what a remarkable thing that was. That staff stability is so important, and you know, to bring his entire staff, great thing for Nebraska. And I know this is all redundant, but it's that passion that we see that's going on here that's the strength, I think.
Mike, got about a minute here, but are you speaking about continuity? Were you surprised Milt and Charlie never went anywhere?
To some extent, you know, I think that they had maybe opportunities. I know Charlie did. But boy, loyalty, that was something that Osborne was able to keep those guys on staff because they were talented coaches. And you know, maybe times were a little bit different then. You know, now I think coaches are looking for head coaching jobs and, you know, you want to make something. But that was a very important part of Tom Osborne's success, was coaches like Charlie and Milt in particular. But, you know, Ron Brown was with him for a long time. Gene Huey was with him for a long time. You can just go down the list there. Dan Young followed Cleet Fisher. It was just a good, solid. George Darlington was there with him there the whole time. One of the first coaches he hired. So I think that staff stability is really important. And, you know, we saw it with Osborne. We see it with Scott Frost bringing his staff here.
Mike Babcock, HailVarsity.com and magazine. 41 years and counting of great Nebraska coverage. Babbers, we'll get caught up again soon. Thanks again.
Great talking to you. Have a great weekend.
Gotta love Babbers. Head MD Babs on Twitter. Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer. We'll talk about moving on up to that non-freshman locker room.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you on a Friday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore with us at Jay Moore 44. Bird, what do you know?
Not much. Beautiful day. Just about to the house here. We're going to take little man to the zoo for the afternoon. So it's going to be a fun-filled afternoon here at the Moore household.
That's money, man. What exhibit? There's a baby alligator that came into the KFOR morning show this morning. They named him Steve after Spurrier.
I like it.
Mr. John didn't take his hands off of Steve the Gator, thank God, but he put it right behind my shoulder and about wear yellow shorts the rest of the day. He's tiny, right? But he's still a freaking right. Gator, man.
Absolutely, yeah. He could chomp off a digit. That's for sure.
So what exhibit is the little man's favorite right now? Does he trade throws with the monkeys yet or not?
No, he definitely could, but that's for sure. But I don't know. I haven't. This will be my first time taking him to the zoo. The wife Jamie's taken him a couple times before, but he's a boy, so he just likes pushing stuff around. Half the time he's more interested in like a trash can or something like that. He can punch and kick and try to push over more than, hey, there's a 400-pound gorilla over here. That's just how he is right now.
That's awesome. Well, have a good time at the zoo. Wanted to ask you, I saw this on social media, and it looks like the freshmen have their own locker room. A, your reaction to that? Guys got to kind of earn their stripes to get to the big locker room. And did you have to go through that? Correct me if I'm wrong. They still had the two locker rooms, or did they do away with those when you got to Nebraska?
Oh, we definitely still had them. Yeah, I saw this, and I love it. I love the fact that they're instituting this back into the mix. I think anymore, so many of these high school kids get praised and so much attention. And sometimes, rightfully so, they are obviously really good football players, but it almost builds them up too much to the point where, it's hard to overcome all these expectations that get put on them. And sometimes you got to put them back in their place a little bit once they arrive on campus. And this is definitely one way. Absolutely. We still had, I got there in 2002, our home locker room was down in the South Stadium, where the visiting locker room is now. And then you had your freshman walk-on, a locker room was in the North Stadium, and it was awful. I mean, it was old, it was dingy, it was gross. You probably could have, if you sat in the wrong corner, you probably could have got some sort of hepatitis, I'm sure. There was, it was old steel, the old metal lockers that you could see through, like you'd see in like any normal high school.
Sure.
The showers were interesting. There was no stalls in the bathroom. So it was just, you just kind of be doing your business and everybody could just be checking on you, see how things are going. So it was rough, but it is what it is. I mean, you had one little TV in a corner and you had a couple old dingy couches that I remember taking many naps on. You come out of class and just trying to get a nap or, get a 30, 45 minute nap in there before meetings. And, but the funny thing is it boosts your camaraderie with your guys that you come in with. It builds your character a little bit, and I'll be honest, I was scared to death. I mean, one thing was for sure, you didn't step foot into that varsity locker room. That was, if you stepped in there, there was a good chance you'd get your ass beaten. And you were well aware of it. So anytime those doors are open, you made sure to veer off if you're walking by as far away as possible. Because that's, if you didn't earn your keep and you weren't in there yet, then you did not go anywhere near it. So I think, and that's a great thing. I think it's phenomenal. I love this. I think everybody, when you come in, you have to earn it. You have to earn your stripes. You got to earn your keep one way or another. It's not given to you. Everything is earned now. And that needs to be put in and just seared into those guys' skull from day one. It's you're starting at the bottom of the totem pole. You're on that totem pole. You're way up there for a couple years of high school. Now you're knocked down a bunch of pegs, and you got to earn your way back up now.
Jay, when did you get the call up to the good locker room where you couldn't catch hepatitis?
it was the very next year. It had been after the year I redshirted. I was called up there, and you went through your you got called up, get your locker, and it was great. You kind of felt even more a part of the team. You felt like, hey, getting your head kicked in for a year and you know, put down in there, and you had to walk all across the field for meetings and always walk across there when it's, you know, freezing cold outside to go to class or wherever it was, to the training table or the training room, whatever it might be. You know, it was well worth it. You know, it all seemed worth it when you got called up there. And you know, we had to go through a little initiation once we got into that new locker room, but it was all fun. Everyone else went through it, and you know, it's all good stories. I mean, I still sit down with guys and talk about, you know, the times we moved up and going through the little, you know, the little team bonding initiation you have to go through. We got called up to the new locker room, and it's all good stuff. I hope they keep, you know, they keep those team bonding type situations going.
Can you get into the initiation?
I mean, slightly. I want to keep
what you need classified.
Right. Right, yeah, let's just put it this way. If you were a hard worker and guys liked you, got by pretty easy, but if they didn't like you, it was hell. You got put to the ringer for about, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. So I'll probably leave it at there. How about that?
So we're talking bars of soap and long tube socks, and it was a Full Metal Jacket reenactment, something along those lines?
I wouldn't go that far, but let's just say a lot of guys like to keep their spitters around.
Oh no!
Yeah, you know, so they had a stockpile for that time of day coming. So that was very common.
Wow, Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Jay, a thought here on Adrian Martinez. We've been talking about this. Where are you at here? Is there too much hype? Are you excited? Last year you were pretty level-headed with it, but the hype of Tanner Lee. I mean, it's reality with the quarterback spot, the hype that exists.
Yeah, I think he has a lot of attributes that are excellent, that are going to fit well into this offense, but I think people got to understand he's still a freshman quarterback. I mean, mistakes, freshman quarterbacks, he's going to have a lot of boneheaded mistakes that you're just going to be like, you know, a lot of situations where we might lose games because of some mistakes he makes, because he's young and he's a freshman and he hasn't played football for a year. People forget that he didn't play much football as a senior because of a shoulder injury. So, I think the speed and athleticism and the way he can spin a football, I mean, that's great, but you have to take it all with a grain of salt and some learning and some growing pains because he's a freshman. I think he'll do, you know, given the opportunity, if he is day one starter, I think he'll provide some phenomenal football running the ball early on, but I think you could see some mistakes made throwing the ball. Just, you're going to have it. He's just young. He's definitely raw, but he's going to bring a lot to the table as he grows and becomes a better quarterback and understands Division I football and knowledge of the game more and more.
Jay Moore with us, Blackshirt Husker NFL, or at Jay Moore 44. Bird will get caught up soon. Thanks for the time, man.
Yep, you got it, Smitty.
Winding down this first hour, Bill Dolman, Eric Strickland next hour. And great to have you along on Friday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes, that's awesome.
Thank you, Stifler. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. We'll get to the all-hype team, the good and the, just came up a bit short. Bill Dolman, the pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, will be with us in 10 minutes. Eric Strickland, 10-year NBA vet, Husker Basketball Hall of Famer. Strick will weigh in on the wild week in the NBA. I want to remind you about texting and driving. Reminding you not to do it, all right? When you text and you drive, it's going to hurt you. It could hurt those in the car. It could hurt those traveling near you. And when you text and drive, it's taking your eyes off the road an average of 5 seconds, like driving blind at 55 miles per hour, the length of a football field. That increases your crash risk by 23 times. And texting and driving illegal, you can get popped. Fines between $100 and $300, so don't text, don't drive, don't do it. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. You can find us on Twitter at 2birds1stone for Colton, at @Schmidt_radio or at Hail Varsity. Don't miss the opportunity to subscribe to Hail Varsity. Get the yearbook with your subscription, 855-3-HUSKER, hailvarsity.com/subscribe. Bundle it. You'll love it. Premium content online with hailvarsity.com and the magazine. You'll be a happy Husker fan for 2018, year one of Frost. And we're doing a thing. Chance for you to win Akron tickets. You take take a picture with you, a selfie with you, and the mag and the yearbook. Huh? A little Scott Frost in the picture. The drawing of the cover anyway. So that'd be all good. Colton, have you ever had your picture taken with an alligator? Ah, yeah, alligator, not crocodile. Alligator.
Ooh. I don't think so.
Happened this morning.
Now, when I went to South Dakota, I did, like, they did this whole, like, they brought a little one around and everyone, like, got to touch
this
it.
This one wasn't huge, like, you know, Elvis from Miami Vice. Elvis was Crockett's pet alligator that lived on his yacht or off to the side of his yacht. He had a chain. Wasn't a turnover chain, though. This one was tiny, but he's going to get up to 10 feet.
Oh, wow.
And he just looked chill.
Was his mouth all wrapped in tape?
No, he wasn't duct taped. But John from the Lincoln Children's Zoo, awesome dude. He brought Steve the Gator. Talked with Jay about that. That's hilarious. I didn't even put two and two together till I asked him. Steve the Gator is Sir Steve Spurrier. That's hilarious. That's Steve the Gator. I was a freaking little girl, man, with that. Just weak.
See, I'm like kind of weird about animals like that. Like, I'll go up if someone else is holding them, and like I'll look at them, or you know,
depends. You know, if there's someone beautiful around, I'm man enough. Give me that scorpion.
Right, and then I really think about it. I'm like, I don't like things that slither or crawl.
No,
or,
I don't. Yeah, exactly. And Steve the Gator was chill. He was
alligators
fine.
Are cool, but.
Yeah, as long as they're in the someone else's hands. We've got vouchers for Monday night's Salt Dog game. Let's get you vouchers right now. Caller number 5 for Salt Dog tickets for Monday. Vouchers, great seats, love the dogs, love Charlie and company. Caller 5, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 5 right now, vouchers for the Lincoln Salt Dogs for Monday. Hour 2 on the way.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at @Schmidt_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmidt.
Great to have you back. Hour 2 at Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, 10-year NBA vet. And, Husker Basketball Hall of Famer Eric Strickland, 25 minutes away. We welcome in the pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports. It's called Everything Everywhere. Bill Dolman, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D, how's the weather out there in Boulder/Denver/Buffland?
Well, if it's Boulder or downtown Denver, it's cloudy as always. But here in Highlands Ranch, it's clear and hot. No humidity like you got there.
It's not as bad today. It's 87 and not as humid. But
okay, that means it's one of these 7 nice days that Nebraska has a year.
Well, are you coming back for the opener, brother?
If you're giving me tickets, absolutely.
I don't know. I'll work on something, okay? I'll work on something. That would be fun. So it's been a crazy week in the NBA. We'll get there in a minute. Want to get your take on your time at Nebraska. And we talked to Babbers about this a little bit earlier, but you were doing locker room shows. You were hosting the Coach Osborne show. The approach to incoming freshmen, and specifically Tommy Frazier. What do you remember about the hype surrounding him? And compare it, if you could. What are you reading into with the hype around Adrian Martinez?
Well, I don't want to say apples and oranges.
That's okay, though.
I think the biggest difference is the social media.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, and we're talking the early 90s, so, geez, you know, 20-some years ago now, almost 30 years ago, geez.
Don't say that.
There's no social media to follow every move that Tommy Frazier made from the time that he was, you know, in junior high, like we do now. We didn't worry about classes 2-3 years down the road. It was guys who came on the radar maybe during, you know, during a football season of what would have been his senior year in the middle of a Nebraska, that anybody really identified who the recruits and the prospects were. I mean, now, seriously, you're following kids from junior high on, which is absolutely ridiculous. I don't think there should be any recruiting, you know, prior to a junior year. But that's just the way we live. So to say, what was the hype like when Tommy was being recruited? I actually think that it would probably be more so with Tommy if had it been an era of social media, because people did know about Tommy Frazier. There was something, you know, with him going to Clemson or going to Notre Dame that he was targeted. People knew probably more about him than any recruit that I can think of. Mickey Joseph was highly known about. Turner Gill was pretty well known about as well, if you go way, way back. And Babers would certainly be able to, you know, talk about that.
Yeah, but he did.
But back in the day, there were only a few guys that really registered on a radar, and most of them were quarterbacks. There were a couple of running backs, you know, Amon Green, certainly, and we're talking about, you know, about the same time as Tommy. But to compare it to Adrian Martinez, guys are built up way, way too much by the recruiting industry and people that got, you know, petroleum jelly next to their computers. It just is not really a fair comparison. But Tommy would be one that would, you know, the hype was there when he was being recruited. And I don't know if it's fair or not for Adrian Martinez, who's, you know, he's a product of the recruiting machine and the recruiting industry that is out there, like it or not.
The reality about Adrian is the story behind his commitment and recruitment with Frost and Coach Verduzco flying cross country, making an in-home, getting a commitment, and then being back by 4 a.m. for practice at 7.
Sure.
They liked him that much.
Yeah, and that story gets out because of social media. You know, there were a lot of stories back in the day with Tommy Frazier about Kevin Steele spending all that time down in Florida playing cards with Mama Frazier, you know, and spending a ton of time and, you know, Tom being involved. But, you know, a lot of that was Kevin Steele,
mm-hmm.
who really spent all that time down there with him and built the relationship that ultimately led to Tommy coming to Nebraska and us getting to the airport with a fake interview.
hold on,
you know,
hold on.
Early in the morning when he had arrived.
Tell me that story.
Well, I've shared it before, and of course, you know, you never know how much the audience changes. But to repeat the story, it is, and it's a great one, and part of the legend of Tommy Frazier. And I'm not even sure if Tommy knows how, you know, all about it. But I was at my apartment. I'm not exactly sure if this would have been January, right around signing day, but it must have been pretty close. But it's about 10:30 at night, and I get a phone call from Kevin Steele. And he calls me up and says, "Hey, Dole, Coach Steele, hey, I need a favor." "All right, Kevin, it's 10:30, but what do you need?" "We got a guy coming in tomorrow morning, a recruit out of Florida. His name is Tommy Frazier. You've heard about him, right?" And, you know, I'm down there, so yeah, I know I've heard of Tommy Frazier. He says, I need a camera there at tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock to Duncan Aviation. Okay. Get there. I don't care if there's film in the camera, but we need this kid to think that everybody in Nebraska is waiting for this guy, that we're recruiting him hard and people in Nebraska know all about him and love him. So we need to make it look like the media is following this too. Right. So I said, look, I don't know if I can, but I mean, you're giving me less than 12 hours here. So I called Jim Carmichael, who has since passed away, but Jim was a producer director at Nebraska ETV and worked, you know, very closely with him and doing all the Nebraska sports and Big Red Wrap Up and Cornhusker football and all that. And so I called Jim. Jim either that night or in the morning, goes to ETV, gets a camera, gets it. We get to Duncan Aviation like at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we're waiting for this plane to fly in, and it comes in right around 9 o'clock, and we get this camera out on the tarmac. Told him at Duncan what we were there for, and this guy's a football recruit, so they let us go out there, and there we are. The plane arrives, door opens up, and Jim and I roll this camera out to talk to Tommy Frazier. And I didn't even know if there was tape in the camera. And actually there was, and I think I have it somewhere.
Really?
But it was shot with like the sun behind him. I mean, just everything that you don't do when putting together an interview. And it's like, Tommy, you know, I did this interview and I don't remember what I asked, but you know, people at Nebraska are really excited about you being recruited, and you know, what do you think about Nebraska? Are you gonna come to Nebraska? You know, all that kind of stuff. And so really in large part, Tommy Frazier would not have been a Husker had it not been for me and Jim Carmichael. Clearly, we sealed the deal that morning at Duncan Aviation, and the rest is Nebraska football history.
So was the interview top five, knowing how Tommy likes to do interviews?
I seriously don't know what I mean. We played it up, and you know, we played the role that Kevin wanted us to play. Kevin gave me a wink and a nod. And
What else?
Media was interested. Compared to now, when the media knows everything about all these kids, and everybody's got to follow them on social media and where every move that they make. But back then, it was like, we got to make it look like the media's following this. And so we were the media that followed it and put on this bogus interview that never aired anywhere. But I got the tape someplace, I'm sure.
Did Coach Steele take care of you? Did you get dinner out of him or anything?
I got a wink and a nod. That was pretty good, you know. So, yeah, after that, you know, Kevin was a good friend. He's a good friend, and has had great careers as an assistant coach. But that recruitment of Tommy Frazier was pretty funny to get that call about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and to put that all together and get there. And I think Jim gave me the tape, and I don't think we ever saw it. We may have watched it once, but sure enough, he showed up. He went, came to Nebraska, and he was. And Kevin told me on that phone call that night. He said, "I'm telling you what. We get this guy from. If we get this kid, we're going to win at least two national championships." And sure enough, one, two should have won a third, and Lord knows, four would have been out of the question as good as he was and we were at that time. But Kevin said, "I guarantee you, we'll win two national championships if we get him." And sure enough, did.
Bill Dolman's with us.
It wouldn't have happened without that interview.
Without Bill Dolman taking one for the team. At Bill Dolman on Twitter, the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports. Bill, I got a question, man. And you talk about championships, and Frazier was game-changing, incredible. Absolutely. But from a culture standpoint, what was missing, in your opinion, that the team had great talent? And I think the late 80s teams, okay, that beat Switzer and got by Oklahoma and were right there with some really good Colorado teams, and I'm talking 88, 89, and even 90, when I look at all the dudes that went to the NFL, okay, that window, what kept Nebraska from getting a chance at a Notre Dame, but always, okay, fine, you're stuck playing Miami or Florida State? What kept them from being 11-1 as opposed to 10-2 or 9-3? Not that you should sniff or sneeze at 9-3 or 10-1, but people were back then.
Well, I think there were a lot of pieces in place, but maybe there was, and I don't want to say lack of leadership, because certainly you had one of the great leaders in the history of sports coaching the team, and mm-hmm. Tom Osborne, and you had great staff.
But you got to have player leadership, right?
But I think there was a certain amount of player leadership. But I think that there may have been an air of entitlement.
Okay.
You know that well, we are Nebraska, and once you get there, that's good enough. And there was a somewhat sitting on the laurels, even though winning Big Eight titles was not winning national titles. But I think that maybe there wasn't that culture of player accountability that brought it all together, that there was, you know, there were greater things to win if you just have a unification of purpose and a unified purpose. And then eventually that led to the Unity Council. And Tom made some dramatic changes in the early 90s. And after the back-to-back 45-10 losses to Oklahoma and Georgia Tech, and what was that, 91, mm-hmm. you know, there was some wholesale changes within the department that I think people, you know, realized they couldn't sit back in their chairs, that they had to sit up straight. And once that there was an understanding that Tom was serious, and then that the changes needed to be made. I remember Boyd Epley, you know, coming down from the ivory tower to coaching, you know, being a strength coach on the floor, but there were already guys on the floor that were, you know, great strength coaches. Boyd was a great marketer, mm-hmm. great administrator. He had great vision and all of that. But the Brian Daly's and the Paul Kochs and John Jost and Randy Goebel and Mike Arthur, I mean, those guys were the mechanics in there. And I think Dave Ellis, you cannot forget the importance of Dave Ellis and the nutrition staff. But all those guys really focused in that part of the department. Coaches, the scheme to move Ed Stewart. Mm-hmm. You know, Tom made some radical changes that may not have been seen on the outside, but were very evident inside. The Unity Council was vitally important. And then you got the right guys, you know, to come in that were tremendous leaders and brought accountability. The Aaron Grahams, the Peter brothers, Phil Ellis, I always thought was a great leader.
Yeah.
Aaron Taylor. I mean, it just goes on. I just brought the right mix of guys in there that brought accountability to each other. And that was an unbeatable combination. And it all culminated in 60-3.
Now, Coach Frost.
And Tommy, you know, Tommy was never a team captain. He may not have been the most popular guy, and I don't mean this in a bad way. And he just probably wasn't going to, you know, be on the student council,
sure,
or be the prom king. But everybody knew that Tommy Frazier was a leader of that football team, and it was his personality that, you know, was as significant as his athleticism in developing what happened.
Bill, I got 90 seconds. You had a transition around 1990 as with an athletic director. You had Bill Byrne come in. I mean, did that put guys that have been there a while on edge?
Well, no, I don't know. Bill certainly was the leader, I think, for the athletic department, you know, outside. I don't want to say outside of football because he was involved in that.
Sure.
But that was Tom's program.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever their relationship may have been, you know, certainly cordial, but may not have been, you know, collegial. But they got along as well as they needed to. Bill understood that Tom was who Tom was. Tom ran his program. Bill ran the department, made sure that everything was in place, and it worked. Bill certainly brought an outside vision that Nebraska needed, that took Nebraska from the 1970s, literally, I think, in a mentality of the 70s and the 80s, and took Nebraska, you know, beyond where everybody else was, and had a vision that put Nebraska at the forefront of collegiate athletics. You know, most notably with the Husker Vision and the big screen boards, whatever you think about them, good or bad. But, you know, Bill was a part of that and pushed Nebraska to places maybe where it didn't know it needed to go,
sure.
May not have wanted to go, but had to go. And Bill, I think, was one of the great athletic directors of all time. And, you know, was he everybody's friend? Not necessarily, but a little bit like Tommy Frazier. Sometimes you have to have that personality that pushes you, and you may not like it, but it gets you where you need to go. And it all worked.
Bill Dolman, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D., enjoy your weekend, sir. We'll get caught up next week. And thanks for spending a few minutes with us today, man. A lot of fun.
Well, thank you for reminding me of how important that interview was to the history of Nebraska football. And perhaps someday I'll dig it up and we'll show it on radio.
That'd be great. That'd be wonderful. We'll put it out on social media, Bill.
Okay.
Hey, brother, take care.
All right, bye.
See you, man. There he is. That was awesome. It's good stuff. Eric Strickland, he'll be up next. We'll talk with Strick, 10-year NBA vet, Husker Hall of Famer, the week in the NBA.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's talk some NBA. Nebraska Hall of Famer, 10-year NBA vet, Eric Strickland, back with us at eStrick20 is where you find and follow him on Twitter. Strick, how's it going, man? Good 4th of July for you?
Yeah, it was real relaxing, man. Hot, but nonetheless, it was just very peaceful and relaxed. I'm sitting out back right now, just relaxed.
Lots happened as we went to the 4th of July holiday. You had LeBron go to L.A., and I want your reaction to this. Kind of give me a timeline in your mind for L.A. to beef up. We'll talk Melo, we'll talk Kawhi for sure, but overall, LeBron is now a Laker.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, figured he'd probably make that move, if not stay east and make a run. LeBron is closing out on his career. He's made L.A. A home. He has a home for himself there. Some other background stuff. He's now embarking in movies and co-producing and putting films together. And I think a lot of it has to do with him looking to the end of his run and career and looking beyond basketball. And if you're going to be in that business and you're starting to embark on that realm, you know, L.A. is the place to be. You know, you're going to be bumping shoulders with the likes of them that make it happen in that realm, and you're close to it. And you get to, you know, play. And they have a very interesting crew of guys there in L.A. that, given the right leadership and bringing the right people, who would want to come and play in L.A. as free agents. So him being there, you know, hoping to draw the right pieces and components, definitely is a lot easier to draw them there than to be in Cleveland.
Were you surprised at Stevenson finding his way to L.A.?
No. I don't think I'm surprised at anybody finding their way there. It's a great atmosphere. The organization is phenomenal. Its leadership is on point, and they're willing to do what it takes to win. They want to win. They have a history of winning. You know, with Kobe being gone, they were hoping to have some of that come to life for them, you know, through ball. But it wasn't panning out like they was hoping. And so you have a great opportunity to draw someone like LeBron, and I think you had to go after him.
Given Stevenson's antics towards LeBron, maybe there's some respect there. McGee also and Rondo. I like McGee a lot. Love his game. I like Rondo's ability. In your opinion, who stays, who goes, and does San Antonio eventually pull the trigger, or are they going to hold out with Kawhi, and if they ship him, it's only east?
If I'm smart and I know the Spurs, our organization, is very wise and smart, there's no way in HE double hockey sticks that I fly west to do work against them on a regular basis. So I would probably look to get the best that I can get going out east for him. Just never know. You never know. I mean, they have a lot of pieces and a lot of parts that they can get, and I'm pretty sure they're not going to take a ball or no one like that. They don't want that headache. You know, they're a no-nonsense organization, so I just don't know. It's going to be interesting. I just say I got my popcorn, and I'm eating it like it's a great movie drama that's waiting to unfold.
Eric Strickland's with us, Hall of Fame Nebraska player, obviously 10-year NBA vet, Hail Varsity Radio. What did your sources say to you? You're locked into the league. What was the straw that broke the camel's back with Kawhi, with Pop, with his teammates? What do you know?
Well, a lot of it has to do just with it's kind of crazy. Yeah, some of it had to do with politics, and you know, unfortunately, that had to be a piece of it. And you know, he just didn't feel that he was getting, you know, the respect for his thoughts and opinions with regard to how he talked about certain things and whatnot. And it just wasn't clicking. It wasn't meshing anymore. And so, you know, when you get to that point, you kind of got to come to a decision and a conclusion that what's best not only for your organization, but, you know, hopefully best for the player, to make everyone, you know, go at peace in their own different ways, agreeing to disagree and just moving on.
Was it the fact that he was questioned about his injury? Because you're an athlete, man. You've probably had a sore quad. That thing can end and ruin your career. But it sounds like teammates were kind of sick of him babying it. Am I reading that correct?
That does come into question with guys. Are you really with us? Do you really want to be in the trenches with us? If you don't, then, you know, keep it moving. But don't play games, and don't, when we're out here breaking our backs to try to win games, you're not going to battle with us. Over time, that can wear on all components of team chemistry.
Eric Strickland's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Strick, Carmelo is no longer with OKC. They're parting ways. surprised by the move, and what? Where do you think Melo lands next?
That's interesting. I mean, I know Melo wants to win. I'm sure he wants to go where there's truly opportunity to win. I think in the East, he doesn't really have that. He may look to find his way, maybe even take a little less money. But I have not known Melo in his time and career to sacrifice any part of him. So I don't know if taking less to go somewhere else, you know, a Boston, or I don't think he'd fit well in Philly. I just don't know out East who is other than, you know, I don't see him going back to a New York. I don't see that. So, I think it may be somewhere out west, but it's just hard to say where he fits with some of the components that other teams have on their rosters. A lot of them want to get younger. A lot of them that are making young pushes to build teams that they're going to go with for years to come. I don't know if he fits that mold. So I definitely can see him coming along. Him and LeBron get along very well. If he's going to take less, I'm sure it'd be someplace like that. Mm-hmm. You know, someone he can respect, someone, you know, who can speak back to him if he's starting to get out of line and out of his way. So, man, I it's hard to say where he would fall and where he would fit based on, you know, the needs, the teams, and what they're trying to accomplish. Melo is a high volume guy. He wants the ball. He feels he needs the ball for him to be effective. Playing off the ball, you know, doesn't seem to work. So it's going to be interesting to see where he falls.
What's your take on super teams and Boogie?
With Boogie ending up in Golden State, wow. They already were a beast of a team, and now to have someone of his abilities on the inside, a guy that can get buckets on the inside, who can take up space and presence on the inside, is going to make them even more viable. I mean, they're just doing a wonderful job with their you know, their front office people of putting pieces together.
Strick, what's your thoughts on the super team? I mean, you've got the big threes that have been going on since you came into the league, and it's happened. I mean, LA's had three big pieces: Magic, James, Kareem. Boston, the Chief, McHale, and Bird, of course. And that was through the draft, as was Los Angeles with Magic and Worthy. And then Rodman goes to Chicago for the second three-peat. And then in your old town, Boston, where you had the big three that delivered for Boston's last championship. As a 10-year vet, what do you look at? How do you react to guys going to ready-made teams? Durant kind of kick-started it at a major level a couple of years ago. Do you have a high respect? Do you care? Are you judgmental? What's your reaction?
Well, I don't think I can say I'm judgmental. I think what made it possible even more is the salary cap.
Sure.
Raising and the money that's coming in, which allowed for that to happen even the more, to put these kind of teams together. And I don't have, you know, I just think the league has changed. It's changing. You know, you did have those guys, but it was a lot harder to put it together back in the day than it is now. It's a lot easier now. With the money available. But I don't have any qualms against it, man. I think, you know, hey, to each his own, if you want to go get it, I've always been a guy, you know, hey, I want to go beat the best. But, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that's what teams are trying to do now. They're trying to equal out or match or meet what these organizations are doing with these big three moves.
Right. And Golden State still the target. They have upgraded majorly yet again with Boogie. Eric Strickland with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Husker Hall of Famer, 10-year NBA vet. Strick, a last thought. What do you think's going through Ty Lue's head right now with LeBron leaving?
Man, he was already having some internal strife going on. I think some stresses was getting to him with all of that. I think he did. He worked with what he had. But now, losing him, there wasn't really many pieces there. So I see them falling pretty hard. I don't know if he remains. If he does, the thing about Tron is he's phenomenal at getting the best out of what he does have and trying to make it work. The good thing out there is, if you put yourself in a position, you give yourself a chance. And I think that's what he'll try to do. He'll try to manage it. He'll try to, keep him in range in order to shoot for a championship opportunity and allow those guys in the West to beat up on each other. But the East is getting better. Mm-hmm. You have Boston, and you have Philly, and you have some other young teams that are coming along, and they're getting better. And so there's a little bit more top-heavy teams in the East than there are in the West. It's now balancing itself out a little bit in the West with Houston and Golden State and now the Lakers and a young Phoenix team and a Utah team. They add a couple of pieces. If they get a couple of solid pieces, they've got a chance. And, just as well as any. So it's going to be fun to see the moves and the shakes that people are making and how they're going to position themselves to make a run.
Strick, always love catching up with you, man. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Thank you, man. Always a pleasure, Chris.
There he is, Eric Strickland, 10-year NBA vet. Talked with Strick a little earlier today. His schedule's pretty nuts. So that was pre-Tony Parker news. That's why we didn't ask about Tony Parker. But we'll be talking about it next. He is off to Charlotte, him and Kimba. And Tony didn't want to take less money to stay in San Antonio. Tony probably didn't want to hang around Kawhi Leonard if he's going to be in San Antonio. And we'll get into it. 17 years. Man. Uncle Nate right now is weeping. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Okay, Greg Popovich has his statement out. 2 years, $10 million for Tony Parker off to Charlotte. And 17 years, goodbye. Tony Parker didn't want to stay, take less money. It seemed like yesterday that Tony was in as a 19-year-old out of France. And, man, whether you hate the Spurs or not, you got to appreciate their longevity and the ability to crank out five titles. Don't think they ever went back-to-back, but they were fearsome and they kept reloading. Now, getting that number one pick overall the year David Robinson blows out his Achilles, and you got Tim Duncan and David Robinson together, was sweet. But with Manu and Tony Parker and then all the assistant coaches, by the way, that have gone on to head coaching stints or assistant jobs at many other stops, they are your model franchise. And you have Kawhi Leonard, and you have Tony Parker, and you have Tony Parker calling out Kawhi Leonard. That's the theory. And if you're Tony Parker, you're gonna give Pop a hug, tell him you love him, and you're going to go play for MJ for a year and make $10 million. I don't know what Tony's divorce payments are to the desperate housewife. They're not like poking fun or judging. I'm just saying, I guess at 39, after playing for 20 years, you still want $10 million over five. Mm-hmm. I guess. And you want a two-year deal. So here is Popovich's comments. It's difficult to put into words how important Tony Parker has been to the Spurs franchise over the past two decades. From his first game in 01 at the age of 19, TP has impressed and inspired us day after day, game after game, season after season with his passion, dedication, and desire. We are grateful to Tony for 17 years of truly amazing memories. While the 4 championships, 6 All-Star appearances, and 4 All-NBA selections highlight his resume, the biggest joy for me has been to have the pleasure of watching TP grow up before our eyes. All of us in the Spurs organization will miss having Tony in our program and wishing him and his family the best as he continues to his remarkable career in Charlotte. You need that in the locker room. You need Tony Parker's in the locker room. If you have any hope of keeping things together and paying it forward, and this is how you do it, new 19-year-olds that have the skill and talent of Tony Parker, you got to overpay to keep him. You do. Because right now, what do they see? They see Kawhi's behavior. And Kawhi's been a quiet dude who's been a hard worker most of his life. So I have a little bit of a problem with how he's acting because he's never acted this way before. Mm-hmm. And I think at ESPN earlier today, the way he's behaving and acting, trade him to the Clippers. Punish him. Doesn't matter what you get. You got nothing there anymore. It's like the old days of being the best player in college basketball. Oh, Clippers got the number one pick. What are you doing? I'm going to Italy, says Danny Ferry. Back when he had hair. Pre-GM days of Cleveland. So, there's many that are having problems with this, but this is the new normal. Your stars are going to move. You're lucky to have LeBron come back to Cleveland like he did. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to have team hopping. I mean, your kids do it in select ball. It's starting at 8 years of age now. The fact that Tony was there for 17 years, or George Brett lasted his whole life as a Royal, mm-hmm. or Alex Gordon's been a Royal his whole life, it's rare. I mean, Tom Brady be the next 2-decade-plus dude to finish his career in a different uniform. I don't know. I think 40 is going to, I mean, Peyton Manning, for God's sake, went to Donkey Land. Mm-hmm. Joe Montana went to Kansas City.
There's not really many.
There's no more John Waynes left.
It's a dying trend of lifers, essentially. Once Jeter retired, I think that was probably the last time you really see one in baseball.
Good call. Listen, man, I grew up hating the Yankees. My mm-hmm. kid loves them. But Jeter, Mariano, mm-hmm. Jorge, those dudes all came up together. They were fun. I appreciate what they did. And look what they've done leadership-wise, because you got a pretty good group of dudes that get it and act the right way, and the Yankees are a fun team to watch. Mm-hmm.
And
you need that leadership transition.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is I feel like, you know, we talk about in college sports a lot, chemistry is, mm-hmm. is the team going to sure. work, but obviously there's more control with a coach that has a bigger voice, and you look at pros, and you really need a couple of guys that have
Pop
been
and Phil
there.
Jackson, man, are about it.
Yeah.
The two guys that can just say whatever the hell they want and undress a superstar, and they'll take it.
Yeah, and anymore, it's you have to have guys that have been in that organization to lead, and with everyone just switching teams all the time, you don't really have that.
Well, you need management and ownership to back the coach.
That too, exactly. So, I mean, that's why you look at a situation like Cleveland, and no disrespect to Ty Lue. I know
you
that,
heard Strick talk about Lue. I mean, he's going to try his damnedest to keep it together, but Ty's got a $35 million contract.
Yeah.
If Cleveland wants to put him out to pasture because they're not going to the playoffs, or they're now an 8 seed. If he gets him to the playoffs as an 8 seed with that roster, give him a lifetime contract. Let Ty Lue go do his thing somewhere else.
Yeah.
Question's going to be, is can you lure him back to college if he's available and if there's an opening? You
That'd
can see that math.
Yeah. Well, I don't... That would be interesting. I think that that's he would fit
I mean,
better, probably.
Ty Lue's the biggest Mark Kranach fan there is. Selfie evidence proves it. We'll talk to Kranach about that tomorrow morning. I'm just saying, think a few steps ahead. Like some of you were thinking back in 14 when Bo got dismissed. Go get Scott Frost now. Sorry, I'm that guy at 10 till 6 on Friday.
In July.
Okay. But if 22 and the tournament ain't repeated, a lot of you are going to be screaming.
Yeah. No, I would be interested to see if he would go back to college, but I think he'd fit better in a college team because he would, I mean,
he'd probably love it.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to, you don't have to babysit. I mean, he still has to babysit, but he doesn't have to. He has control and authority,
yeah.
But it'd probably be weird for him because he's never had it. He's had it to a degree, okay? Mm-hmm. But I don't. Wrong conversation. Back to Tony Parker here. Was he a guy that did it for you? I mean, were you a Tony Parker fan? Were you wowed? I liked his mid-range. I liked his finishing ability to the rim. And, I mean, that guy willed himself to play to age. The hell is Tony Parker? Is he 39?
Somewhere
he's 39.
Around, yeah.
I mean, he is. He's not been what he once was. But I mean, they were just in the finals. We're talking mid-30s. He has dedicated himself to being incredible for a long, long time. Tip of the cap to you, Tony Parker.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Tony Parker is 36, but can you not picture Tony in a beret with a striped mime shirt, smoking a non-filter at a sidewalk cafe in Paris? That's the hardest thing for him, coming to the NBA. I mean, he was working dudes internationally for so long that he could have a smoky treat run in a fast break. Incredible lung function. Him and Vlade Divac. Vlade would be, called him the Marlboro Man. Vlade would show up to Laker games. And they dealt Vlade so they could get Kobe. Drafted Kobe. The old commercial, no problemo. Don't do it, ever. I don't know. Let's tell you about Wilderness Ridge. Great folks, amazing options, and membership benefits for you. We missed Shuey this week because of the holiday. We'll talk next week. You've got Tiger and Phil. Going to be doing a $10 million skins game. That'll be incredible. They're working on it. Go see Chris Thompson, Mike Shuhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf, 434-5106, wildernessridgegolf.com. Going to be playing with Husker Nate tomorrow, as soon as we're done with Kranak.
A $10 skins game.
$10
million. No, I know. For you.
I'm not touching. No, Nate would kick my butt. I'm not doing that at all.
$10 million. Now, I keep reading about it. Is it going to be their own money?
I hope.
Because it should be.
I think it should, like, be charitable.
Well, yeah. I think whoever wins. I mean, I think it should be
although
$10 million.
Although Phil would be like, just give me 10 more.
No, I'd see, because people are saying it might not be their own money, but I think it should be $5 million of their own and to
just match
charity.
It.
Yeah. And then
to make it $20 million.
Choice.
Hell, it's
yeah.
Their money.
There you go.
I think, I mean, I know Tiger's still liquid. I don't mean, I would hope Phil has $10 million saved.
Yeah, he should.
Well, he should, but the guy.
What's so funny
likes
is
to bet.
You look at like the career earnings, and Tiger is first only, and then Phil is second only to Tiger, but it's by like $80 million.
Sure. Well,
and that's,
I mean,
just winnings.
That's winnings, and then I'm talking off-course endorsements.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, they're
Phil's donated enough money to Vegas that he should have a casino. It should be just Phil's. I mean, you have the Desert Inn. I mean, they should just he instead of the Hard Rock, it's just Phil's. Over time, over 25 years, homeboy's done enough, donated enough. So yeah, that's what's up. What are you doing this weekend?
I'm here tomorrow.
Yeah, no, don't sound so excited about that.
I'm at the paper tomorrow, and then I'm not sure what I'm doing Sunday yet. Try to do something.
Grandma is, she had her 90th back on the 28th, but we're throwing a pâté. They got an amazing drink cart at their retirement community. That's sweet. So we're going to do that Sunday for a little bit.
Is it an open drink cart?
Well, I try and pay, but they just put it on tab. That's what they say. So we'll be there at 2 on Sunday. That'll be sweet. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4, I wish. At 7 a.m., weekend edition. Myself, Mark Cranack, Colton Stone. Have an incredible weekend. Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.